Normally, newly released figures from the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, that's NOAA, don't really tend to stun people. It's just data for climatologists, scientists. But what we got from NOAA was the data that says more than 15,000 weather records were set in the U.S. last month. All 50 states set new daily temperature records in March. And for 25 states east of the Rocky Mountains, it was the all-time hottest March ever. And it's not just March. The average temperature for January, February, and March of this year was 42 degrees. That sounds relatively chilly, right? But it's supposed to be in the 30s at this time of year. And we asked you if you'd seen any effects of the warm weather. One listener texted us, "All the plants have bloomed early. We'll soon have an influx of pests. Not even addressing the economics yet. Allergies are flaring, not to mention having to wash my car daily." We got this one from another listener. "Lamentable first mosquito bite of the season was in mid-March this year in western Pennsylvania." And listener Emily in Colorado texted this. "We have experienced our driest March on record this year. The Lower North Fork fire in March killed two civilians, and spring skiing is slushy skiing." Skiing and forest fires aren't the only things, of course, affected by warm weather in Colorado. Farming is as well. And John Harrell joins us now, a farmer in Olathe, Colorado. How does a farmer, when you look around, John, what do record high temperatures look like on a farm? What do you see that tells you it's hot?
Well, you see a fresh crop of weeds. You see your water table, not water table, but you see your water running off earlier than normal. And so you try to make decisions. Do you plant early and try to dodge a freeze, or do you just go ahead and wait the normal times you would plant crops? Our temperatures, ironically, yesterday I was looking and we were at 80 degrees, soil temperatures at about 3 inches were 70 degrees, which is around 15 to 20 degrees above normal. So we feel we'll have a short water year, meaning the runoff from the mountains. We're surrounded by 14,000-foot mountains, and that water, the snow, is running off much sooner than normal. So it's a dilemma whether we plant early and risk a freeze, or do we wait and plant in the normal time and maybe be short water. So,
it's a tough decision. Absolutely. We're also joined by Andrew Revkin, senior fellow at the Pace Academy for Applied Environmental Studies at Pace University. He also writes the Dot Earth blog for the New York Times op-ed section. So, Andrew, climatologists tell us all the time, don't confuse climate with weather. Don't confuse climate with weather. So what are we to take from these record temperatures all over the country?
You basically expect more of the same as the climate warms, but on a year-to-year basis, don't confuse climate with weather. In fact, when you look at globally, keep in mind that the other side of the Northern Hemisphere had some really harsh cold conditions this winter. There was kind of a big sinuous shape to the circulation of air around the Arctic right now. So some places had this unbelievable heat, which caused the only visit I had from a snowplow here in the Hudson Valley this winter was in October, before Halloween.
Yeah, I remember that storm.
So these impacts are really tangible, but when you look at the global conditions, you do see this trend. We're warming. The climate is warming. In 1981, Jim Hansen, as I wrote on my blog yesterday, and he basically laid this out all pretty clearly and called it, basically said we're loading the dice toward the hotter outcomes, and this is the kind of thing you would expect to see.
And would expect to see, are you talking about global warming here? Is this evidence of global warming?
It is an incarnation of what to expect as we warm. But again, it's one of these weird things where climatologists and other scientists, when they look at the conditions on short timescales and in restricted regions, and keep in mind the United States, even these contiguous 48 states are a really small chunk of the planet. You could have extreme conditions in one place. Now, whether or not climate change, the greenhouse effect from these gases is raising the odds of these kinds of extremes, that there's a pretty strong body of evidence that that's the case too. But you can never point to anyone and say, aha, that's us.
That's Andrew Revkin of the Pace Academy for Applied Environmental Studies. Let me go back to our farmer in Colorado, John Harrell. John, take a listen to this listener. This is Mary in Oklahoma.
My name's Mary Goodwin. I live in Uckitsmuggy, Oklahoma. Last summer, as you guys know, it was hot as Hades in the Bible Belt. Any tomatoes that we planted never fruited. They didn't want to show their little flowers. We also had watermelon, and the watermelon burst open due to the heat. So we never got any watermelons, and there were quite a few bad sunburns. Needless to say, we're looking for something from the garden this summer.
So this is someone who, on a small scale, kind of understands your dilemmas and troubles. What do you farm there in Colorado?
We farm sweet corn, onions, hay, a variety of crops, pinto beans, seed as well. So we farm about 1,550 acres of sweet corn.
And what's your normal growing season?
Usually we plant somewhere around the 15th of April, which is just around the corner. We start harvest around mid to 20th of July and run through September, which is going to be halfway normal this year. What we don't know is do we plant, as I said, early and risk a freeze? Our normal freeze is about a month from now. Our last killing freeze is around May 10. So our dilemma is, do we plant early and hope we don't get a freeze, or do we wait and maybe run out of water? We live in a desert climate. Our average rainfall here is 7 to 9 inches a year. So everything we grow is irrigated from the runoff of the snow in the mountains. And as you had one lady speak about the slush rather than snow, those high mountains hold snow, and it runs off, and we irrigate with it. But that high snow, as we call it, is now running off probably 30 days earlier than normal, which is a great concern to us in the valley that farm.
And I'm sure you're concerned that this is not just an isolated incident, but perhaps a trend for the future as well. That's John Harold, a farmer out of Colorado. Also joining us this morning was Andrew Revkin, senior fellow at the Pace Academy for Applied Environmental Studies at Pace University. He also writes the Dot Earth blog for the op-ed section of our partner, the New York Times. Thanks to both of you.
You're welcome.
Good to be with you.
And as you look outside your own home, what do you see? Do you see any side effects? Do you see any signs that it's hotter this year than normal? Give us a call and give us your weather report, 877-8-MY-TAKE, or post a comment at thetakeaway.org.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.